Now, as an instructor, I'm obligated to tell you, if you find yourself in that square corner after you've overshoot final, to that extent, it's probably a good idea to go around. But I like to put that video clip in this little short demonstration because it gives you a real good indication of what these real simple oral cues help you do if you find yourself in a typical square corner that gets folks into trouble. So, in summary, there's a long pedigree behind this. It's been very effective in service use. We've ported this over to a representative GA-type airplane. This is a very inexpensive software-based solution that's easily adapted. It's substrate independent. We're happy to provide all the software, all the data, and the flight test to go along with it to anybody that's interested in either collaborating or taking this and running with it. All right, and we're actually working on a Gen 2 system that we can bring up a little bit later in question and answer as well. This system is caveman simple to use. I can fly with it. It's very easy to learn. It takes about as much time to learn as a short video that you just watch. You can be self-taught. It's not only going to improve overall energy management, but it's like flying with a flight instructor all the time, and you're going to get that key nudge. Hey, dude, you're a little slow. So it's very valuable in that extent, too. But the bottom line is we think this is a real good heads-up, eyes-out solution that can go a long way towards reducing pilot reaction time and just provide that kind of feedback that helps effectively manage your energy anytime you're operating on the backside of the power curve. And that's all I have, sir.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, judges. Who wants to feed on the feast first? Dave, you got some questions?
Yeah. No math. They told me there would be no math.
I got a question for you on when you were doing the transition and you were going into a go-around and you said it was max performance. To me, it sounded like you were saying that on speed is, when you're going around, it was confusing to me. When you're on speed, you get this stable tone, then how do you determine the max LD and the max VY climb?
You transition, on speed gives you best angle, so just climb at best angle to clear whatever obstacles and then make the transition out to L over D max. So the tone just tapers off to slow 400 hertz beeps at L over D max. So I could have done an L over D max go around. I did a maximum angle and then transitioned to L over D max.
So you're supposed to be able to know what 400 hertz sounds like to know that.
It's just when the tone pattern starts. It's once you've flown with it once, it's real easy to understand. It's a low frequency, slow beep. And L over D max is just where the beep trails
out. How many different patterns of beeps are there?
What are they tied to?
They're
tied to AOA.
But I mean, what causes the break from, say, a steady tone to the 400 and then to
excellent
faster?
Question. So we know, just doing pencil and paper physics, what on-speed angle of attack is. So that's, you know, coincident with max power point from your old power curves. And we actually have set this tone to work plus or minus 1 degree because there has to be a little bit of a band because you don't want the signal to be too noisy. You want it to be a nice usable signal. And we found through flight tests that up to 2 Gs per second, that 1 degree band works really well to give us the good solid tone. But there's only two frequencies. There's a low frequency 400 hertz beep and a high frequency 1600 hertz beep.
So it's steady, slow, or fast, and that's
yes.
all you get.
That's all you got. But you can easily differentiate, though, between L over D max and on-speed condition.
So you went from VX to VY.
Mm-hmm.
It went from steady to pulsing.
Mm-hmm.
If it shuts up, you're faster than VY?
You're right there. So if you were to mipple the tone, you're right at VY.
I've got an EI in my airplane that says angle, angle, push, push.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you interface to that? And do I turn mine off or are you going to get both? You say it works with a calibrated AOA.
Yes.
I have a calibrated AOA. How do I make
it? It would replace the angle, angle, push, push. Because the angle, angle would be your slow tone and the push, push would probably be relatively commensurate with the stall warning.
No, but you're going to give me a box or do I have to go online and get your software and program things myself? Or?
Different ways to do it, okay? And that's a fantastic question. If you built an AOA system for a living, you could incorporate this logic along with just your basic software. We've built this box. What this box does, this is our Gen 1 box. This just sniffs the Dynan AOA data stream. The interesting thing is what we've learned in the last year about these coefficient of pressure AOA sensors. They're kind of all over the map. And some of them only provide good stall warning. It's really difficult to calibrate them to be able to map the power required curve. And there's a fellow up in Annapolis named Dave Rogers that's doing some really good work and has come up with an algorithm that gives us a linear relationship between angle of attack and coefficient of pressure, which is fantastic because we can do that with a two-point calibration.
So am I capable of putting that box in my airplane, or is it required?
Do you have Dynan Avionics?
No.
Okay.
Electronics International.
We would have to look at how it's transmitting the data, but if it can read the AOA data, there you go.
So now I have a question.
Go ahead.
This is not natural for me. I come from a different part of aviation, which is mostly sailplane variometers, and to me that's a confusing tone. So for me, I'm used to no tone or a hum or a frequency beep. So it's open source, so my question to you is, can individuals put in what is native to them, and what are your thoughts on then people transitioning from one airplane to the other if they're able to put in whatever tone is native to them?
Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, if there is no standard, then it would be difficult. But, you know, I'm a big fan of on-speed and LRD max displayed in the airplane. So even if all of our basic systems were visual, oral, or whatever, it would be nice if there were A, easy to calibrate, and then B, provided effective cues in the airplane. Something we've learned in the beta test, just asking folks to calibrate a coefficient of pressure system, we got about a 20% hit rate on the ability for just the general populace to be able to do that correctly. So that's why our next generation box has indigenous pressure sensors and will require fairly minimal calibration, if any. Sir?
Dick?
To my knowledge, most airplanes stall at a different angle of attack with the flaps down rather than clean.
Yes, sir.
On this system, do we get a different tone if the flaps are down?
No, sir.
Is the tone based on AOA or stall speed?
It's based on angle of attack, sir, and it knows where the flaps are.
It does.
It does. Now, in the RV4, it doesn't in the prototype because it's a low inertia airplane. So I have it set for flaps 40 and I accept some degradation when I'm maneuvering out in the area on the top of a loop.
So it has a sensor to know when the flaps are deflected.
Yes, and it can either use two curves in a lookup table, or we can actually have an adaptive algorithm where it can go for multiple flap settings. But we can't do that with that box, we can do that with this, which we just built this week, sir.
Mike, great presentation. We've run out of time, folks,
yes.
So thanks.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Great job.
Thanks very much.
That was a great discussion with the judges and their questions. I think this is a great concept. Our next finalist is Ken Hall, and he's presenting the virtual co-pilot. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Ken.
It's an honor to be here. I'm a computer guy, so let's start with the data, the stuff I love. The data shows us that, and I think you guys all know this, stalls are a big factor for a lot of aircraft accidents. If it's due to inattention or distraction, then angle of attack awareness and alerts will really save lives. And obviously that's a big win. But if the pilot makes a big pull on the stick because of a dire circumstance, a reaction to a dire circumstance, like trying not to hit a mountain, for instance, then we need to intervene in that situation much, much earlier in order to avoid that accident happening. So that's kind of the way I started my investigation, looking if there wasn't a way that we could go one better than angle of attack and help steer the pilots away from a wide variety of accident scenarios by identifying and addressing those scenarios well before they develop. And I concluded that we can do that. And in fact, we can do that in a surprisingly affordable manner using the smartphones we already own, a little wireless sensor, which I'll show you in a second, and artificial intelligence in a phone app. And this is a vision I call the virtual co-pilot, and I believe it'll save lives. So how do we do this? Well, we start out with the app gathering data, lots and lots of data, okay? Not just angle of attack, but all kinds of data. In fact, all the data it can get its digital hands on, all right? Altitude, attitude, airspeed, aircraft performance information, airport information, runway lengths, runway positions, obstacle clearance sites, you get the picture. And then we apply this artificial intelligence to integrate and analyze that data to detect a wide variety of loss of control situations and accidents well before they develop. And then, of course, the third thing is to help advise the pilot of this with context-sensitive help and very, very clear, simple help in the terms of visual cues. Imagine a red screen, green screen, whatever, as well as verbalized instructions when the situation deems necessary. And finally, with haptic feedback or tactile feedback for truly urgent situations. So let me give you a few examples just to help illustrate this. So let's say our pilot is in Telluride, Colorado on a warm day. And before they even crank over the engine, the system knows a lot about the situation. It knows the altitude, it knows the runway information, it knows wind speed and direction. It knows humidity, it knows a lot about the aircraft performance for this particular type. Not only that, it knows performance data for this particular aircraft based on historical takeoff data. So it's got a lot of information available. So using that data and making a quick calculation for density altitude as an example, it can immediately tell the pilot whether or not a takeoff is advisable. And if not, obviously flash a bright red screen, maybe some words about density altitude, and the pilot can avoid that takeoff altogether. The same sort of thing happens for all phases of the departure. Again, context-sensitive help. So it's monitoring each phase of that departure and keeping track of new data as it obtains that, whether that be the actual runway in use, the current position on that runway, how much runway is remaining, updated information about wind speed, et cetera, acceleration of the aircraft down the runway, climbing, watching the angle of attack. So it's providing context-sensitive feedback at all times to the pilot. It can also watch for engine failure, and it knows instantly, because it has all this data, whether or not a return to the airport is advisable, and can tell the pilot about this and help them. When you have access to lots of data, you get to do interesting things, and one of those is extracting corollary data that wasn't available before. So for example, knowing the GPS ground track and ground speed, as well as the airspeed and magnetic heading, the virtual co-pilot app can calculate very localized wind speed and direction. And obviously this is very, very helpful in the landing pattern. Using that localized wind and the current position, the virtual co-pilot can help the pilot adjust timing, downwind to base, base to final turns, to compensate for those winds and hopefully avoid loss of control through stalls and spins and trying to overcorrect for overshoots. In the final approach, it also can advise the pilot on power and pitch corrections to maintain the glide slope. And at all times, it's continuously monitoring angle of attack and coordinated flight and providing feedback to the pilot to help them maintain those.